I'm Kier from In Defense Of, a podcast member of the Gunna Geek Network, just like the one you're listening to now. The opinions expressed are those of each individual. Check out all the other podcasts at GunnaGeekNetwork.com and get ready, because geekiness begins in 3, 2, 1...
Gentlemen, boys and girls, pets and creatures of every make and model, fans of entertainment, shenanigans alike, welcome back to Legends Podcast. I'm Beef.
I'm Wing.
And I'm John O'Lobster.
Meat.
Mr.
This is John Legends O'Lobster. Of Halloween.
Meat? No.
This is no. Mr. John O'Lobster coming to you live from the other side of the altar.
So if you had any views on Mr. John O'Lobster, it's over. You're too late.
Too late.
Done.
If you liked it, you should have put a ring on it. That's all I got to say.
That's what you did.
You did. So congratulations, sir.
Thank you very much. Pleasure to be back.
All the congratulations. And Slithers.
Yeah, Slither, 2006, James Gunn.
Not the movie I was expecting at all. For some reason, I was
All right, who's seen this before?
I have.
Anybody? I didn't.
Okay, I'd never seen it before.
This is my pick.
I was expecting a movie with some kind of monster from 2014, some Mexican movie where there was that beast where it had no hair and really sleeky thing. For some reason, that's what I was expecting, and then I got this.
It had no air? How did it breathe?
I have no idea. No hair at all. I'm telling you. I can't track that movie anymore.
You don't remember what that is?
Nope. I was so sure that was it.
Yeah, I got no idea with no movie, no monster with no hair.
No monster, no hair. Splice.
Splice, yes.
Thank you.
Okay.
I was sure I was watching Splice, and then I put this, and I was like, that's not it. Oh, God. I had to go check our master list to make sure.
Clone, or they try to make a clone or something, and it's genetically...
Yeah, that's a decent flick.
Okay.
But for some reason, I was certain that was the movie we were watching.
Guess what? So, it wasn't.
Yeah, I had to go check our master list to make sure. I was like, am I watching the wrong movie this week? Am I sure? Because this doesn't seem right.
I picked it. Of course it's right.
It's true.
I mean,
of course it doesn't seem right.
I had to go back and look at the Brotherhood of the Wolf like 4 times going, okay, sure. I think this is the one he's talking about.
It's true.
So, but no, it's, you know, it's a shitty fun. It's like
shitty. Holy
gory.
It is a shitty.
No. Okay. First off, director, James Gunn.
Yes.
Writer, James Gunn. Of Guardians of the Galaxy, of Super, of awesome stuff that this guy puts his name onto. Nathan Fillion, Elizabeth Banks, Michael Rooker.
I'm a really big fan of hers.
I'm a big fan of all of them, to be honest. But this movie was like, okay, am I watching a movie from the 80s for some reason?
It's supposed to be campy as hell. It's like, I think it's like a take on the 80s horror flicks.
Oh, and going back even further than that, and what's kind of cool about James Gunn is he got his start writing for Troma. So he came up.
That's why there was a reference for Troma.
Oh, yeah, working for Lloyd Kaufman. He wrote Romeo and Juliet. And it's like, this is his kind of thing and his style. And what's awesome is he's brought that to here, like a horror film, but to Guardians of the Galaxy, you can even see stuff in there. Like there is clear reference to this kind of material.
I'm going to agree with that. There is clear reference to this kind of material, of course, but for some reason, that's not what I was expecting anyway.
Okay, well, okay. We got that part. You weren't expecting it. What did you think about the movie you got?
I don't know. I found it was cheap.
It was not made for much money.
It was funny. I'm going to give it that. It was funny. I kind of had fun watching this and playing video games at the same time. But if you had made me paid money for this, I would have been pissed.
Oh, just the lines in this are so great.
Oh,
the tropes, the shitty drunk mayor, the, I don't know, the police force. Like,
all of my ratings later on are just lines from the movie. The dialogue is fantastic.
Good, because I stopped writing them down. Because, I mean, you got Chekhov's hand grenade in there.
Yeah, which is also a dud, a complete dud. Right. It's misdirection.
Yeah, never gets used.
Yeah.
Foreign stuff is classy if you knew something, Dad.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just, it's so bad, but so good. You got Michael Rooker stealing the animals from around the neighborhood and mutilating them, eating them. All the meat, the freaking piles and piles of
The meat thing was funny.
You want a piece of that possum over there.
Yeah, but when you see that giant woman.
Don't judge. Don't judge. You don't know how hungry I am.
God.
She's like a big Audi belly button. She's like, you know, I mean, it works. It's gross. Nah, that's why it works. It's horrific.
It's horrific, but it's kind of funny, so it doesn't work for me. It doesn't make it horrific, doesn't make it funny enough. It just, I'm just like, well, okay, I'm watching a movie.
Part of the critique on this film is that it truly is a horror comedy in the vein of something like Shaun of the Dead, or, you know, it's a film that it's taking horror elements, but it's also in a way poking fun at them, parodying them a little. But it's still very real for the characters, right? Like, they're still going through this, but at the same time, the movie is taking some beats to poke fun at what they're doing.
Yeah,
to laugh. Yeah, you kind of have to laugh along with the absurdity of it.
I mean, all of it becoming the hive mind and, where's my wife? You agreed to obey in a whole, whatever.
Starla.
Starla.
For better or worse, this is definitely fucking worse.
Yeah, that's worse. And when I'm gonna say that my favorite part is when the girl gets the slug in her mouth. Oh, that sounds good right now. When she gets the slug in her mouth and she sees all the background of the beast,
which is cool.
That's probably my favorite part.
That was awesome. That's like a literal info dump.
Yes.
But it like keeps coming up later in the film that like she knows everything and she's like, oh, this is how it works. Because, like, for a moment, she was telepathically connected to the hive mind, so she got all the information.
Right, she downloaded it all, per se. Yeah. Something's wrong with me.
You think?
So good. It's just a bug bite.
Oh, the swarm of slugs. Close your mouth. Oh, my God. What thing tried to get in my mouth? What kind of thing wants you to eat it?
The bathtub scene.
So wrong. So wrong and so good.
So wrong, but good. That's kind of the one from the poster, the trailer, I think.
Yeah,
I was expecting more than that from that scene, to be honest.
Yeah, they didn't.
Well, right, but that's, they had like no money to market, so they showed you like the one sexy scene where it's creeping up on her in the bathtub.
Who's his wife? The actress? Because I recognized her, but that was too lazy to research her.
Oh, Elizabeth Banks?
Okay.
I always got her and Amy Smart confused.
Oh, yeah.
They're a touch from a different era, but yeah, they're both, you know, bubbly cute blondes.
She made a porno with Seth Rogen.
Wait, what?
Oh, yeah.
In the movie Zach and Mary Make a Porno.
Mm. Okay, that's where it comes from.
I was just about to hit the internet, so.
I think that's a Kevin Smith film.
Yeah, it is.
And then it just goes into goofy hijinks of them being chased around, and
it goes into thing territory where he's amalgamating all of the town into his body, and you see people and they're all talking for him,
right? And then they have the acid spit randomly.
Yeah, that's not weird at all.
What's with the spitting?
The argument about the Martian.
Yeah. Well, you don't know he's from Mars.
It's a general term for outer space.
How great is Nathan Fillion in this movie?
So good.
That's the best part.
So he's coming off of doing Firefly. So he's kind of not a household name, but like he's known within certain circles. And I think this is pre him getting on Castle.
But is it me, or that's what Nathan Fillion has always been stuck in? Is that guy that's kind of known, but not really from earlier?
Two Guys, a Girl, and a Pizza Place, whatever.
Yeah, there you go. A little bit like Ryan Reynolds before Deadpool. Deadpool made him like an awesome name, but he was like, you know that guy that was in Blade Tree? That was the guy.
Sometimes he does romantic comedies. Sometimes he does action.
Yeah. Exactly.
I think this is a good place for Nathan Fillion to kind of live. Like, he can be His delivery of his lines is almost exactly like Mal. Like, you could hear those words coming out of Mal's mouth. Right.
The whole "it's a squid" thing.
Yeah.
His arm. Just so good.
But yeah,
again, it's made just for that. You have to know that it is a stupid, like, they go for the dumb lines. They go for the what you would probably say if there was a big squid thing changing shape in front of you.
But let's be honest, Nathan Fillion, we all like him. He's a geek.
He's a good guy. He's Captain Hammer.
And all that stuff, but he mostly plays the same character all the time.
Fine with me.
Okay, thank you. I was afraid I was alone there.
Jenna Fisher is doing The Office at this point. She's also married to James Gunn around this time. But I thought her role could have been bigger. She's a good actress, so it would have been interesting to have her in it a little bit more.
James Gunn was in that movie. I was surprised.
In what movie?
In the movie we just watched.
Wrote and directed? Oh, okay, yeah. He's not in the credits, but I think that Sean Gunn is one of the parts of the beast at the end.
Oh, wow. Okay.
His brother, who he cameos. He's the guy with the lisp in Guardians 2.
Okay. Fair enough.
Who gets the
that's the guy that becomes Mickey Rourke.
Yes.
Rocker at the end.
Michael
Rourke. The new arrow guy. Yeah, with the arrow.
The new Arrow guy. If you watch Arrow, that's really confusing.
Different right Arrow now. Guy. Different universe.
Yeah, I know. It's a different Diggle guy. Arrow guy.
It's all good. Post-credit scene. Did you guys stick around?
Oh, fuck no.
Cat eats one of the worm things and gets infected. So, theoretically, there could be a sequel.
I never even stayed for a post-credit scene on this.
True story.
I own it. I've watched it like 10 times.
Are you serious? You own that shit?
Yeah. That's why I suggested it.
Okay, fair enough.
Don't be so
you
shocked.
You suggested that?
Yeah. Fuck. It's a stupid movie, but it's a comedy with slight horror elements and lots of gross factor. Yeah, of course suggested it.
It's okay that now I know how who to blame. That's all I want. I needed to know.
That's right. Everything you share is highbrow. I forgot.
Well, this has highbrow roots. I mean, this is George Romero. It's John Carpenter. It's... True. You know, it's playing with all of these things, but it's also like it's definitely a B movie. Like, it definitely fits within that realm.
Is it a B movie or is it an homage to a B movie?
Right. I think it's both. I think it's an homage to B movies, but it's also well aware that it's a low budget horror comedy.
Yeah, they don't take themselves too seriously.
It's not trying to transcend. It's trying to do an amusing commentary and play with it. Like, I guess, for instance, take Shaun of the Dead as an example. Like, Shaun of the Dead is a low budget horror comedy that is also paying homage to all of these zombie films and action film elements.
Did you hear that they were joking around? Oh, yeah, your comparison to Shaun of the Dead works perfectly because it's campy, but the drama is actually happening for them. Did you hear the joke that they were talking about maybe making a sequel? The pitch for Shaun of the Dead, and it would be
Vampires.
Vampires.
Yeah,
what was the name, though?
I didn't catch it. I saw this floating around. I didn't read it.
Hold on, now we're gonna look it up.
Real.
We'll talk amongst ourselves. Yeah, it's like Shaun of the Dead. They said, "Oh, From Dusk Till Shaun."
Oh, that's perfect.
Oh, that would be great. Yeah,
exactly. When I read that, I'm like, now they have to make it just for the title.
That's good.
I agree. That would have been great. But okay, I'm gonna give it that because I think I've already kind of shown my hand that I didn't enjoy myself that much. But I'm gonna give it this. Put me at 25 during my October horror movie bash, and this is a good entry.
If you had watched this 11 years ago when it came out. Yeah.
Yes, but the problem is that I'm watching it now, and I've seen a lot of these, and now I've seen Get
Out. And you said you were playing video games while you watched it, so what were you playing?
Oh, I was just playing Star Wars Legends of Heroes or something like that on my phone because I got bored. And by the end, I just moved to Zelda Breath of the Wild.
Yeah, I will say that.
Whatever.
I will say that the setup on this is a little lengthy. I feel like it could have moved into the worm phase a little bit sooner.
You see, that's the part I'm not going to agree. I think the my favorite part, that's why I moved to Breath of the Wild by the end, because I didn't care anymore, because it was just like a generic monster movie at that point. But I kind of like to see Mickey Rooker and is kind of trying to have his daily life and his daily sexual, quote-unquote, life.
Merle Dixon
an alien.
Does it for you.
Yeah, that was kind of working for me, and then when it became a full blown monster movie, I was like a little bit like half of my favorite horror movie of all time, which is they go in a cavern, an underground cavern, and then there's beasts for some reason. It's it's kind of a classic from the 2000s. Anyway. So all the part where they're spelunking under the ground, I'm like terrified. And as soon as they showed me like some kind of alien, I'm like, oh, who cares? It's an alien.
Sure.
By the way, I'll come up with the name of the movie by the end. So just if you're a listener that want to know, just keep listening. I'll just shoot it out at some point.
Oh, the name of it is on the tip of my tongue. Alone in the Dark?
No.
Which one is this one?
The one where it's a bunch of women and that's spelunking underground. The Descent, yes. Okay. As soon as the aliens kind of, or aliens monster, whatever you want to call them, showed up, I didn't care anymore. Right. But when they were just spelunking and the cave were like going down and all that, I was terrified.
You just like to say spelunking.
That book, book, The Descent, is really good. It's a slow burn, but it's a really good. The movie should have been way better.
Yeah, and then the next one that I liked, the concept, like Beef would say, was the one where they're in Mexico on a, how do you call that, a pyramid, and the plants are trying to kill them.
Hmm.
That just terrified me. I know the movie was not great, but just terrified me.
A Vine Time to Die.
That would have been a great title. We should make that movie.
Let's do it. All right, let's take a look at calling this one.
Wing for Slither. Are you going legendary?
I've been around a million years. You think you can fuck with me?
Legend of its time.
If I weren't about to shit in my pants right now, I'd be fucking fascinated.
Cult legend.
Well, now that is some fucked up shit.
Awesome.
Bitch is hardcore.
Entertaining.
It's a general term meaning outer space fucker.
Mayable.
My easygoing nature is getting sorely fucking tested.
Forgettable.
Like finding a needle in a fuck stack.
Abysmal.
Looks like something that fell off my dick during the war.
Spring Breakers Islander.
The Thing, 2011.
With
the
I don't side agree of with nostalgia, that statement.
The side of nostalgia, guilty pleasure, tingle, barf, tears.
It's the side of Lovecraft versus Romero.
Ooh, ouch.
Good stuff.
My God. To be honest, I was on the verge of entertaining, but my easygoing nature is getting so early fucking tested. It's so perfect to where I was going with this movie, because there's some good fun moment, but then there's like 20 minutes in between, which I don't care, because they're like, oh, look, it's kind of a horror movie and we're going to try to make you afraid or play on that trope. And I'm not there in the movie anymore. So I think it's a problem pacing. But I love the humor of the movie. I think I love the kind of acting that, I mean, let's be honest, every actor knew exactly in which kind of movie they were. And that make this movie fun. The other fact that is that that's a movie that understand that 135 minutes is perfect for this kind of thing. So, you know what? I'm going to give it entertaining. I'm actually going to give it entertaining. It's a general term meaning utter space fucker. It's fun. It's fun enough to be entertaining. The movie has some issues, but if you just threw that knowing it's a horror movie, I think that's worth it. So, yeah, I'm going to give it an entertaining. Beef?
I gotta go Bitches Hardcore. I recommended this because I do come back to this at least every year or two. This is another one kind of like the crazies is a little more based in horror, but there's still a lot of good lines. This is just, it's fun. Yeah, it gets slow in some spots. I still picked up my phone and farted around because I've seen it a handful of times, but I'll still throw it in and enjoy the hell out of it. So I gotta go Awesome Lobster.
I'm going to one up both of you and say, well, now that is some fucked up shit.
Nice.
Oh, wow.
So for me, this is one I've wanted to see ever since I kind of got interested in James Gunn as a filmmaker. I think the first film I saw by him was Super.
My favorite of him.
This was before he did Guardians of the Galaxy, but I think that was kind of in the pipeline. So I saw Super and really enjoyed it. And seeing Guardians 1 and 2, I kind of wanted to go back to this and see how James Gunn, and this was his directorial debut, how he worked with some of those tropes, like horror, the body horror of the things getting all weird and gross, and also the fact that there's some outer space elements in it, which is kind of cool. So I think this definitely deserves to be a cult legend, especially as we look at where James Gunn has kind of gone in his career. If this is where he started and this was his first movie, I think that's a pretty good freshman entry into the filmmaking world. So he'd written some films, he'd produced some films, but this is his first time in the director's chair. And I can see where he learned from Troma and where he's kind of studying the greats in the genre, pulling on Carpenter, pulling stuff from Romero, but also just having fun with it and letting fun be fun, which I think is a really cool thing. And this is kind of a nice way to wind down our Halloween films. Because again, I think we're doing kind of a Legends of Halloween, not a Legends of Horror, where we're doing like, okay, these are the scariest movies. No, these are like the fun movies that have some thrills, some chills, some jokes, some exciting stuff, but are just entertaining and fun. But again, I think this is cult legend status for me.
Good. I'm glad you guys kind of liked it. Well, at least you lobster.
Well, I think we're all in the good stuff. I mean, let's be honest, for me, the Frenchman entertaining is kind of a good mark for these kind of movies. So
that is pretty good for you.
It's not Freddy 3, but okay.
Oh my God.
All right. So I'm excited because we aren't quite ready. This was supposed to be our last Halloween movie. We aren't quite ready to say goodbye to Halloween and put away our pumpkins and decorations.
Or Lobster played the This Is My Birthday movie.
That might be too. So my birthday was yesterday as we record October 28th. And since we're recording our next episode on October 31st, I said, why don't we do one more Halloween film and do one of my personal favorites, directed by Mr. Tim Burton, who is like the Halloween director. Mine is actually a dark horse pick. It's not Nightmare Before Christmas. It's not Edward Scissorhands. It's Sleepy Hollow.
Yeah, we'll talk about that next week. Yeah.
I've never seen it, so.
Ooh.
Oh, wow.
Oh, okay. Really?
And I'll be honest.
Oh, this is exciting.
This is your personal favorite. This is the movie that actually broke the streak from Tim Burton for me. After this movie,
okay.
I can't say that most of what he released after, I maybe like two or three of his outing.
Okay.
So it's really an important movie in his filmography for me because, let's be honest, his second movie was really formative for me. It's okay. Batman.
Yeah.
It's Batman.
Yeah, Tim Burton. I mean, it's so interesting in terms of this film, but if we talk about films that get you in the mood for Halloween, this is one that I go to.
I'm going to say that it's one of my favorite performances of Christopher Walken. So,
okay.
That's what brings me back to say, yeah, sure, let's watch that again.
But he doesn't have any lines.
I know, but he's so great.
All right.
This has been episode 345 of Legends Podcast. I'm Beef saying so many good lines in this movie.
I'm John D saying, other space fucker.
And I'm Lobster saying, meat.
Thank you for listening. If you'd like to leave us feedback, you can find us on Twitter and Facebook at Legends Podcast. For all our contact information, as well as other shows, look to GunnaGeek.com and KrakenCast.com.
You can also visit legendspodcast.libsyn.com, where you'll find our complete archives. The music heard on this podcast is Danger Storm by Kevin MacLeod and can be found at incomputech.com. The opinions heard on this podcast are those of each individual host and do not represent Legend Stream Canada, Gunna Geek, or Kraken Cast. No infringement is intended.